Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, it seems to have stopped, Carly, thank God. I don't know what that was
good.
For everybody that's in. We are live, and we had some ghost music there. We don't know where it came from or why it played. But
no, we don't.
Tonight is... I'm telling you, this is driving me nuts. But anyway...
We're getting
through Yes, we are. Couldn't hardly get in the studio tonight to get this show on the air. I don't care how many times you knock us down. It just makes us more skilled at getting back up. So there you go.
No, we're coming back more powerful.
But I'm Marty Oakley. There you go.
I'm Carly Walden.
Yes. And this is our pilot show for Hospice Patients Alliance. And we will be talking about exposing medical predators. And Carly is going to be hosting this show as it comes on. Whenever she's able to do one. Right now, we don't have a firm schedule, but in the future, as she gets more acclimated to this, we'll have one. And so you just have to watch for the promos and when she's ready to come on. Carly, I'm really excited about launching this show, and there's a lot of attention to it, a lot of people tuning in. And what I need to know from you is what got you started in this.
Okay, well, what got me started in this was it happened with my family, with my grandmother. And my grandmother was misdiagnosed. She was overdosed in a hospice. And by an inch of her life, she was saved. God used me to save her life, literally within hours before she died. She was going to a very reputable hospital in Atlanta, you know, in Atlanta, Georgia. And unfortunately, she had a fall at home, and a small town hospital put diagnoses on her that were end-stage cardiomyopathy and renal failure and pneumonia. And keep in mind, we've been seeing the best, in our minds, what we thought were the best cardiologists, the best primary cares, you know, pulmonologists, you know, in Atlanta, in the Atlanta area. And what came down to it, it's a long story, but I'm going to make it real to the point, is this small town hospital wound up, we found out that they misdiagnosed my grandmother with end-stage cardiomyopathy, renal failure, and put pneumonia, okay? We took my grandmother up to her primary care in Atlanta after we got this information, and her primary care did not do his own testing. All he did that day was put a stethoscope to her, and I specifically remember looking on his computer and it's saying already had my grandmother in for hospice care before even examining her himself. So he just put a stethoscope to her heart and said, and then wrote a prescription for hospice and told her, I will always be your doctor. Yeah. Said, I will always be your doctor. We had no idea. Our family had no experience whatsoever with hospice. And so we're like, oh my God, okay, you know, so, you know, in our minds we're thinking, oh God, she's dying, she's, you know, end stage disease, okay. We didn't know anything, okay. Make a long story short, we bring her home and me and my father think that she's dying. And okay. So we didn't know anything about hospice. I looked up the local hospice, called them, and had a representative, which I will now tell you is the sales person that hospice uses. They are the bait and switch people that will slick Rick you in a heartbeat, and came into our home and sold us on this wonderful program where my grandmother we would be amazed what a few good days rest would do for my grandmother, and she would be coming home. Mm-hmm. And so, right. You know, my dad said specifically to the woman, he said, you all do not just dope them up, do you, ma'am? You don't just dope them up, correct? And she said, absolutely not. Okay, let's get on down the road. She gets admitted into that hospice at 10 o'clock p.m. that Friday night. All right. We get home. All right. Come back the next morning at about 6:30 a.m. And my grandmother cannot even hold a spoon to her mouth. They had put a catheter in her when it was specifically told to her that she can use the bathroom by herself. They said, okay. Oh, that's a no-go. And I was like, okay. We immediately noticed the impairment of her cognitive abilities. My grandmother is very alert, very aware, can speak perfectly. And we're going like, what is going on? Like, this is not what we were told. This is, something's wrong here. So, you know, all kind of bells are going off of me. I'm asking questions, and that's a good thing, to ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. And nonetheless, we were picking up on these little things the whole entire way. My grandmother's pee started turning from a, and this is important, Marty, because it started turning from a, yellow, which has always been a perfect yellow, to a dark tea color. How do I know that? Because I've been helping to take care of her. And what happens is the body is starting to shut down. The organs are shutting down.
Yes.
When the body is doing that. So I found that out later, but moving a little bit on, because I don't want to, it's a long story, but we noticed that all this was going on. Everyone in the hospice was all laying in a bed, all out in a coma, and no one moving, no one talking, no one on wheelchairs, no one on walkers. They asked us to bring walkers, you know, no one doing anything. I mean, it's the terrible. And so what I did is I came home and I said, I finally went to the nurse's station and I said, what are you giving to my grandmother? I said, "What? My God, she's out. I mean, you could do surgery on her." Literally. And they said, well, we gave her some morphine and Ativan and Seroquel.
Oh,
and I said,
God.
Do what? Okay. She did not give her informed consent to do that. Okay.
Right.
When you sign up for, when an individual, when your loved one, and it's all going to happen one way or another, the elderly will be told hospice and palliative care is the right choice for you. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have to be very, we're going to be smarter than that. So, what happened is, once you sign and you agree to the hospice program, like my grandmother did, under the false pretenses of you're going to get a few good nights rest, and my father saying you don't dope them up, do you? And also an intake nurse asking me, that she mentioned, she said, oh, well, they may get a little morphine. It helps with the breathing. I said, do what? I said, she only takes Tylenol for pain medicine. I said, she will be having no morphine. So, all right. But here's what really happens. This happened over, you know, months and everything else of me having to learn all of this. Once you sign that and they are admitted into the program, a physician order form is immediately created, created, and it's got Roxanol, Ativan, Seroquel, and Haldol. Now, Seroquel and Haldol are the two antipsychotic drugs that they use. However,
yes,
when you use them all together, that is a lethal drug cocktail. So right. I came home. They told me what they were doing. Came home, researched it, and sure enough, I found out that this is a lethal drug cocktail that hospices are using to put patients, eternally sedate them. Okay.
Right.
All right. So, you know, I was livid. Beyond livid. So me and my father, it was, 11 o'clock at night. We closed. We ran down to the hospice. And, Marty, we could not wake my grandmother for 2 hours. My father was slapping her on the face. He was, you know, doing everything, putting rags, everything on her face, trying to make her come to, and she's not coming to. And I'm sitting here looking at that hospice staff like, what have you done to my grandmother? She walked in here in less than 2 days ago, and now she's in a complete comatose state. And anyway, what I decided to do is call 911. I requested police escort. And I also requested an ambulance immediately because she was severely dehydrated. Okay. I mean, her tongue was like a rock. It was terrible, Marty. Terrible.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So the ambulance, they got there and they had no problem with us. We revoked the hospice benefit. Okay. That's very important for the listeners to know. You can revoke the hospice benefit at any time, okay? And if your loved one has not been declared incapacitated legally, not by a doctor, but legally incapacitated, they can refuse hospice, okay? Or the medical durable power of attorney. So, all right, to make a long story short, they did not think that my grandmother was going to make it to the hospital. They told us to say our last goodbyes while she was in the ambulance. So we followed the ambulance going. I told the ambulance to take her to any other hospital than this, the hometown hospital that we had used where this, all of this mess had started. So I just went out on a whim and I just saw anywhere but there. Okay. And followed them, going 120 miles down the, an hour, literally, down the highway to keep up with them. All right. My grandmother gets there and, you know, she's in a coma. She is totally in a coma. And, you know, that, so they do the drug testing, they do toxicology reports, they do everything. They did the entire gamut on my grandmother. Guess what happens?
Wow.
They come in the next morning. Okay, so we left home. We stayed in hotels. We were scared to death. We didn't know what in the world to believe. You know, we've never been through anything like this. And anyway, the cardiologist, the pulmonologist, and the hospitalist of this new hospital came in and to talk to the family. And while my grandmother was still in a morphine coma, and they were hydrating her and trying to get as much fluid in her because she was, you know, she was severely dehydrated. And they said, well, Mr. Walden, your mother does not have end-stage cardiomyopathy and she does not have end-stage renal failure and she doesn't have pneumonia.
Oh, my God.
They said, all your mother has is a severe urinary tract infection. Okay.
Oh, man.
We're going, you know, what the hell? What the hell is going on here? And so we find that information out. And then the doctor, the hospitalist, tell us not only that, they overdosed. And this is all in her medical records. She was overdosed with 40 milligrams of Roxanol morphine, which is the most concentrated form of morphine, okay? Roxanol is. They gave her 40 milligrams in less than a two-day period. So they gave her that with Ativan and with Seroquel. So what we found out, you know, is I went back to the hotel room. I'm thinking, trying to think as quickly as I can on my feet. And I find Ron Panzer, okay, who was a hospice whistleblower, all right, who has written the book Stealth Euthanasia. And I tell him what our family just went through, and he said, well, you're exactly right. They were hastening her death. And
yes.
we call hospice the Holocaust. You may call it the Elder Cost. It's called many things.
Yes.
But it's a part of this culture of death. And more importantly, my grandmother's been alive for 3 years longer. I want the audience to know she's been alive and well for 3 years. Since they fraudulently diagnosed her. So,
well, those drugs, Carly, the Seroquel,
yes,
Seroquel and Haldol,
yes,
are strictly prohibited.
Yes.
They are not to be prescribed to people over the age of 60. It says right in the circulars that come with those medications. They are not to be, and they're not to be prescribed to people that have any signs of like dementia or Alzheimer's or anything like that. But they do this all the time. And this stuff attacks the frontal cortex of the brain, causes brain damage, and it's irreversible.
Yes, it does.
And the idea that they would use that with morphine, that to me
is
a clear intent to kill.
It is. It is a lethal drug cocktail. It will literally start to shut down their organs immediately, and that's what they do now. See, euthanasia, this is not people, you know, what we're talking about is the most censored story in America. That's what we're talking about. And the revelations of the hundreds and thousands of people that have called in to our organization and have, you know, given a recount of what has happened to their families is the same thing. their families were murdered
yes.
in hospice, you know, nursing homes, in hospitals. It's, you know, it's
yes.
not just hospice. It's going on. They are murdering them in nurse, and you know what? Money is what it's all about today.
Yes.
So, you know, it's you know, stealth euthanasia is being practiced throughout the United States and elsewhere. And so
I
you're
just
absolutely
got an email
right.
here, Carly. I just
sure.
got an email here, and somebody said, why in the world would they do this? This doesn't make sense. Let me explain to you why. This gets
mm-hmm.
back to the federal government and the theft
yes.
of Social Security funds since the Johnson administration, when he made the trust fund available to the general fund to finance the Vietnam War. Every administration
mm-hmm.
and Congress since then has availed themselves of the Social Security money. And they have gone far beyond taking just the surplus. They currently owe retirees somewhere in the area of $4 trillion. This is considered
mm-hmm.
an intra-governmental debt, meaning one part of the government stole it from an agency or somewhere else, and they had no way to pay it back and never had any intention of paying it back. And they've continued
mm-hmm.
to take the money. Well, now we're retiring.
Mm-hmm.
The boomers are retiring. We're here to collect
right.
on this investment. This is not an entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
This is an investment.
That's
we invested in this for
right.
30, 40, 50 years. We're here
yes,
to collect. They can't pay it. They can't pay
mm-hmm.
us. We've got the medical industry committing $30 to $60 billion a year in medical fraud against
mm-hmm.
Medicare. This
mm-hmm.
is not the retiree who is getting a check from Medicare every time they go to the doctor. This is your doctor
right.
getting a check every time you go. And the hospital.
Right.
And so you have that massive offset there that they won't do anything about. And
that's right.
I say,
and, mm-hmm.
now we're here to collect. So what are they going to do? They have first primed the public and said, oh, you know, the boomers, the silver tsunami. Oh, it's going to be the killer for the economy. What are we going to do? Oh, the boomers, the threat of the boomers. And say they got the public primed. We're something to be afraid of. We're going to wreck them. But that isn't
mm-hmm.
the case. So what's the next
mm-hmm.
best thing to do? Well, you offset
mm-hmm.
what you're going to have to
mm-hmm.
pay out by getting rid of the people you have to pay it out to. And
that's
this is
correct.
Exactly what it's down to. They are disposing of the people they owe.
Yes.
And
yes,
this
they
is
are.
All that's going on. And they're doing the same thing in the VA with the veterans. They're drugging
mm-hmm.
them to death and calling it suicide.
Yes.
Because spending
mm-hmm.
a few bucks today offsets 20,
mm-hmm.
30, 40 years of medical care they would have to provide those veterans. So they're getting rid of them too. Anybody they
you
owe,
are absolutely
they owe.
Right, yes.
And so we've got a whole system in place at the VA and in elder care to get rid of these people so you don't have to pay them. And
that's right.
What bothers me, Carly, what bothers me is the people willing to do this. Where
that's
did
right.
all these predators come from?
Right. Well, a lot of it look, is we have talked to people. Our organization has talked to, you know, the hospice RNs, physicians, and people like that that know they see what's going on. They see the murders that take place, and they are afraid. So many are afraid of them, of losing their paycheck and their living. They have a mortgage. They have kids. And they get blacklisted. If they come out, they literally get retaliated
yes.
against. And so they're scared to come out. Many are. Now, many have come out and been whistleblowers.
Mm-hmm.
Many RNs and doctors. Yes, they most certainly have. But for majority of them, and a lot of that I have personally spoken with, they're afraid because they don't want to get
yes.
blacklisted, and they don't want to. They're afraid that they're not going to be able to get a job anymore. You know, so that's a
well,
large
and it's,
part.
Darling, it's just like with the people that have blown the whistle on the VA, they get thrown
mm-hmm.
out of the organization also, and then they start the retaliation, and like you say,
that's
it's
right.
They can't get a job, they can't get anything
nope.
and the thing is, they never quit coming. They will run these people to the point that they virtually have to leave the country to try and get any relief. They will never stop terrorizing them for telling what was going on.
That's true, and it's terrible.
This is just,
I mean, it's disgusting, and I have talked with those people, okay? I have spoken with those people that have been retaliated against and that have fought, and that is the only resort that they have. And it's so sad. And, you know, getting back to what you were talking about with the money is that, like researchers at Duke University, they found that hospice reduced Medicare costs by an average of $2,309 per hospice patients, okay? So if you do the math and you do 1.56 million patients. That's about how many. This was back. These are stats from 2009. Okay, these are totally different now. Doubled, tripled.
Yes.
I am for sure. But you multiply that. Okay, 1.56 million patients. Okay, receiving hospice a year, times 2,309, which is what the average cost is. And they're saving $3.6 billion now. We have heard that the figures are up to $16 billion. This the hospice is
$16 billion
industry. So what people I would really want to get the point across is that back going 30 years ago, hospice is not, we talked about this, is not the Good Samaritan outfit that it was. It has turned into a business.
No.
It is a business.
Yeah.
And the media loves hospice, and I'll tell you why the media loves hospice. They censor it, number one, but they love to put out the good feel about hospice. That, you know, everything you see are good feel articles, good written, you know, commercials. You know, it's totally false, totally false.
Yes.
We've mentioned that guardians love hospice. Doctors love hospice, hospitals love hospice, and so do nursing homes. What better way to get rid, okay, let's say that something negligent has happened, okay, and they, you know, hospitals, if there is a death on their record, then their Medicare star rating is affected. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you know what they do? They send the patient, they patient dump them in hospice, and they get killed with lethal drug cocktails.
Yes.
Now, people, a lot of people have been wondering, you know, knowing something's going on, finger on it, and they've seen some of these things, and they think that they're isolated incidents, but they're not. This is happening all over the country and elsewhere, like I said. And so,
Carly,
I wanted to say,
This was all based on an experimental system that was tried out over in England around 2010, 2011. And it was called the Pathway System. And it was their version of hospice, of what hospice is today. And before anybody realized what was actually going on, they had, in the London area alone, which is a massive area, they had offed 1,300 senior citizens. Before anybody figured out what they were doing, the pathway system is the blueprint for hospice as it exists today. Now, you talked about that $16 billion they're ahead by killing these people. This is offset by the $11.5 billion cash infusion hospice was given under Obamacare, which was actually, Obamacare was just the last linchpin in a long planned medical plan, if you want to call it medical, that started clear back in the Clinton administration. They put in pieces, each one by executive order, this, that, and something else, all of it to culminate and become fully functional and effective by October of 2014, which is exactly when Obamacare came into full force. October of 2014, everything culminated. And but they got $11.5 billion.
The Affordable Care Act.
Yes, to convert from Good Samaritan to the Grim Reaper. And
that's
they
true.
Have done
You're
it
absolutely
with a viciousness I can't even believe. One of the things that bothers me in all of this, going back again to the people who perpetrate these things, mm-hmm. is the callousness with which they do this. And if mm-hmm. you look at like that one site for those nurses, the absolutely despicable jokes and graphics they make about what they do to their patients, and they're
That's
all on
exactly
there laughing
right.
about it, everything else. It's absolutely disgusting. One of the things I've noticed here, Carly, in this area where I live, is word has spread about guardianships mm-hmm. and hospice, is people are hiding
Good.
Their elderly. They
yeah,
are hiding
they are.
Them. They are taking them, mm-hmm. yes, they are taking them places unknown to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
And the
mm-hmm.
other thing I've noticed, too, is I hear more and more people, most particularly elderly people, talking about being afraid of their doctor.
Yes.
And when
that's
I ask,
yes.
why are you afraid? Well, they yell at me, and they tell me if I don't do this and I don't do that, if I don't take this medication, you know, they're going to have to do something about that. And
mm-hmm.
The idea is terrible. Yeah.
You know, what a
well,
nightmare.
You have to
what a nightmare
your
for our elderly.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's a nightmare. For, you know, worse than a Stephen King, but it's a living hell for our elderly to go
yes.
through. And, you know, we
yep.
have to, and, you know, look, you know, what bothers me, you know, there's so many people, you know, that we have to advocate. We have to get this out, the word out. People need to understand that this is for real. It is happening. And,
yes.
you know, do the best that we can to educate you and to inform you so that you have the tools to protect your family. I'm glad that they're hiding their elderly.
Yes.
Carly,
talk a little bit more about this ability to revoke hospice, because I've got two emails here, people saying they didn't know this was possible. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So, okay, first of all, once again, this is very important. If the individual has not been declared incompetent, legally incompetent, okay, then that individual themselves can revoke their hospice benefit. So your mom or your dad, and they're all of a sudden they're saying, "Oh God, I'm being, you know, they're killing me. I'm revoking the hospice benefit." A, they can do it themselves. Very easy. You just revoke secondarily the medical durable power of attorney, and I pray to God it's one that has good intentions and one that is not trying to hasten the death of their loved one, and they know that that could happen just for
mm-hmm.
Financial gain. But the medical power of attorney can revoke the hospice benefit, and what I recommend is that once that's done, you use home health care. Home health care provides nurses. They provide that can give medication, that can help with pain management, but they're just not going to kill you. Okay?
Right.
And so they can do, they have physical therapists, speech therapists, and someone to help bathe. That is the route. And if you can, a pro-life doctor, but yes, you can revoke the hospice benefit, and that is how you do it. You have to be in the position of power to do it.
Okay.
And then you just go to the hospice, say, I want the, it'll say revocation of hospice. The paper says revocation of hospice. Please, people, do not tell them your assets, how much you, what you
yes.
have in, tied up in anything.
Nope.
Tell, if they try to start hounding you, hang up the phone. Tell them, thank you, I'm not interested. Hang up the phone.
Right.
But that, yeah, they can revoke the hospice benefit. And, you know, something else I wanted to say, Marty, is that a lot of people that have already gone through this are very grief-stricken because they realize that their loved one was murdered after the fact, because it is called stealth euthanasia for a reason. They do it so
yes.
fast in front of your eyes that you literally almost don't catch on to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're so slick about everything. They're slick. And so
yes.
to those people that have had your loved ones that have passed away in hospice, and you've had questions, you know, what was my loved one murdered? Did I just, you know, they were in there pretty quick and then they died, and you know, I saw other people that were in there and they died real shortly after they were in there. Don't blame yourself, because through, with me doing this for as I have been, you know, been advocating now, those are a ton of calls that I receive. And that is not the way to go. The way to go is to take the next step and to tell your story and share your story,
right,
so that more people can, we're making the, this is, like I said, you need making everyone, the whole world aware of what's going on. So it's, you
okay.
Know,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Another part of this too is liken this to, executions. And this is basically
mm-hmm.
what this is. When
mm-hmm.
when they give somebody the needle, okay?
Right.
By lethal injection, they are doing the exact same thing. And
mm-hmm.
that person laying there, it goes through it very quickly rather than over a course of several days. And what they
mm-hmm.
these drugs do, the first drugs they're given, do exactly what the drugs do when that person is laying in that hospice bed. They start
That's
slowing
right.
the body down, shutting the organs down. And
That's right.
They are given a shot, a palliative shot, painkiller,
mm-hmm.
which does not
mm-hmm.
totally kill pain, but what it does do is render them unable to express that pain, to move,
mm-hmm.
to scream out.
That's terrible.
And this is exactly
mm.
what's happening to the elderly. They keep them loaded up on these drugs so that they cannot scream out, they cannot cry out, they can't beg for help, they can't do anything. And then they come
they
in,
literally can't.
Just like lethal injection, and give them the hammer shot, the kill shot. And the one that shuts all the organs down just finishes the job off. This is nothing more than lethal injection that is being performed on the elderly under the banner of hospice. This is exactly
yes.
what's happened. We are executing them. This isn't
right.
a benign euthanasia. They are executing
right.
them to get rid of
them. That's right. And they're doing it for profit. They're doing
yes.
it for profit.
Yes.
They're not doing it because they care about your loved one. They're not doing it because they're compassionate. They're not. This is about money. This is all about money and people. And this is a government-funded program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The government-funded program. So, you know, prosecutors don't touch this. I mean, that's
no.
why there's so many thousands of stories, because it is the corruption is so deep, which we've discussed
yes.
before, on how it all
yes.
is interconnected, and the
mm-hmm.
kickbacks and the, you know, covering the doctors covering for other doctors. And,
yes.
you know, like if you go to the medical board, you try to file a complaint. Well, who are you going to the medical board to? There's a bunch of doctors. That's their friends.
Yes. Yep.
They're going to be covering for them, because that's been the experience
it's
of thousands
like
of people.
Going to- these oversight boards for these attorneys that are populated by their buddies in the Bar Association, guess who didn't do anything wrong?
Mm-hmm.
They never find anything wrong. And when we allow the same group of people to police their fellow members,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You're setting yourself up for disaster. This is a protection racket. And
right.
another
oh,
thing
yeah.
on this too, Carly, is HIPAA. People, you'll hear them scream, oh, HIPAA, under HIPAA, we can't tell you. Patient privacy, HIPAA has nothing to do with your privacy. Nothing. It is to protect the doctors and the
mm-hmm.
medical establishment for being held accountable for wrongdoing on many levels.
That's why
you can't look at those medical records.
That's exactly right. It is to protect the industries, whichever it may be, whether it's the hospital, the nursing home, the hospice, you know, assisted livings and board and care rooms, I might add as well, because I've spoke with people that have gone through this that had loved ones in those facilities as well. So, you know, this is for real. People, you know, I want people to really wake up to this and think, oh, you know, a lot of people, Marty, think, oh, no way, this is America. This could never happen in America. It's happening
right.
in America. As me and
it
you
is.
Were talking right now, it's happening in America. And, you know, the best way is for us to put a stop to it, or it's going to eventually be your loved one or you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the unfortunate
I keep
thing
waiting.
About it. Mm-hmm.
This revocation, see, I keep wondering when they're going to pull that. Because if people discover they can get out of this, they're
mm-hmm.
going to stop the hole in the wall, if you know what I'm saying. They're going to close
yes.
that loophole. Because most people, and I had no idea, you could revoke hospice. I thought once you were in, you were in. When you got your grandmother out, did they fight you at all?
Not at all. And you want me to tell you why? They got caught red-handed murdering my grandmother. And I, course, we had the medical power of attorney. I threw it right over there at him, and they threw the paperwork. We signed it, and we got her the hell out of there. And I'm telling you what, I have never in my life felt so sorry for the other people as I was walking out of that hospice. They all looked the same. They were all in a comatose state with their mouths. They start to get a donut look. It is terrible. Terrible for any family to go through. So that's why, you know, I want to blow the whistle on this very loudly because, you know, our family was blessed, but my grandmother could have died.
Yes.
Easily. I mean, they told us she was within hours of her death. That's how bad she was overdosed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's
Thank
like,
God.
You know, she's a miracle, and we're going to, like, use our story to help save other people. So, you know, but there's, I mean, hospice, they can bring in closers. Have you heard of that before?
Yes.
A
yes.
closer?
That's what they refer to as the people who deliver the hammer shot, the kill shot, as the closer.
Right.
The closer. I'm going to tell
right.
you something. Recently, with my own doctor, who was leaving
mm-hmm.
and moving to another state, well, one of the
mm-hmm.
physicians I had,
mm-hmm.
he was, and we were talking as I went to leave, he said, he made a remark to me about what I did outside of that office, and I gave him one of my business cards, and he said, what's this about? And I said, told him what we talked about, and I said, we're going to be starting a new show on hospice, and he
yes.
goes, what about hospice? So I ran it down to him, and I mentioned the closer,
mm-hmm.
and he
uh-huh.
his face got really red. I said, what do you think? I didn't know about that. And I said, I probably wouldn't have if it hadn't been for a lady named Carly Walden. I said, I probably wouldn't have known about that. I said, I was walking around in this bubble thinking, hospice
mm-hmm.
boy, you know,
mm-hmm.
what a godsend. You get to this point and you need help. The family needs help. And then these people come in out of the goodness of their heart. But I said, that's not the way it is anymore, is it? And he said to him, I said, I can tell by the look on your face, you're thinking, oh, she's purely paranoid. I said, yes, I am. But I said, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean somebody isn't chasing me. And
That's
he
right.
just kind of
That's
looked
right.
at me and I said, you know what I'm talking about. We're targeted. Over 60, we got a big X on us. You got to go. And
That's true.
I said, and you know all about this. I can tell by the look on your face. You know all
wow.
about it. You know exactly what I'm saying. So I said, don't let conspiracy theorists fly out of your mouth or, oh, you've been on the net. I said, yes, talking
yeah,
to hundreds,
I get...
if not thousands of people. They're all delusional
mm-hmm.
too, right?
Exactly.
And he turned
exactly.
around and walked out the room. Yep.
He knew what you were talking about because they do bring in the
yeah.
closers to finish the job if a person is not dying
yep.
quickly enough. Hence, the patient lives too long with respect to the six-month rule, okay? The hospital
yes.
will start losing
Talk about
money
the
due
rule.
To the annual
Talk
cap.
Talk about the six-month rule. Yeah.
Yeah, so the
Talk
six-month
about
rule, okay, you're the only, you know, a doctor is the one that writes, but he has to believe, based on all of his testing, that you are a terminal patient and you have 6 months or less to live for you to go into either an inpatient hospice unit or to have hospice. Remember, guys, hospice is a business. they will come to you. They will come to you in a nursing home. They will come to you at your house. They will do anything for you and sell you on the fact that, oh, they will help you bathe your loved one. They will give you supplies. They are all of these great benefits that you think, oh, man, that will really help me out a lot. And then the next thing you know, your loved one is dead in a couple of days. Okay?
Yes.
That's the truth of it. And so, that's the 6 month rule. But what happens? What happens if the person lives after 6 months, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what happens? The hospice, they're going to start losing money due to the annual cap on reimbursement that they get for each patient. So, some say when that happens, I'm going to tell you what. When they start losing money, they're sending in a closer to take care of the problem. Okay.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, this has been witnessed. This has been, they can do so much as even this is literally accounts from people that have called in and told it. I mean, these people have their stories published. They can just move an individual a certain way, and it'll kill that person. This is the worst.
Well,
is the modern day Holocaust.
Yeah.
And,
well, this,
we call it the invisible Holocaust.
The coverage we recently gave to Anastasia Adams, and the hospice didn't become involved directly in that, but they did this thing, the time schedule. The hospital keeps her X many days till Medicare won't pay anymore. Then they bounce her over to the nursing home. And then the nursing home gets paid so many days, and they bounce her back to the hospital. And they do this back and forth, so that they don't suffer any kind of a loss. Now, if you went in for, let's say, pneumonia, and Medicare would pay 8 days for pneumonia, and 3 days later you're doing fine, they send you home, they still get to collect that 8 days. So it's a money-making deal.
And they're trying to throw you out the door in 3 days. I'm going to tell you that right now. You go into the hospital, you think you got pneumonia. Yeah. With my grandmother, that happened. I said, excuse me. I said, I would like to see x-rays. They wanted to discharge her. And I said, I want to see the x-rays because it's been 3 days and she still sounds like she has pneumonia deep in her bases. In her lung bases. And so the woman brought the shit that really pissed her off. So, the doctor brought it up to the fourth floor, and sure enough comes in there and has to admit, well, your grandmother has double pneumonia in both of her, bases, the left and the right. So, we're going to keep her. Yeah. But see, they're trying to rush people out of the hospitals. Back a long time ago, they would keep people like that had pneumonia, for a week or so in the hospital just to make sure that they got rid of it. But, today's a whole different story. It's all about the money.
Yes, it is.
So,
yes, it is. And it's at the expense
all about the money.
Of your family. Yes. And the thing is, this doesn't just affect the patient. This affects the entire family. Families are absolutely destroyed when things like this happen. It's a fortunate family that can stay together, that can hold together through this. Because once this happens and you realize what has happened, while you stood there and put your trust in these people who had these ill intentions, and you realize how you were duped and what actually took place, most people, the guilt will kill them. The guilt will absolutely kill them, and it will tear the family apart. It does terrible, terrible things to them. This is torture, and it's torture by extension, because, like I say, it trickles down through the family. It affects the family. It torments everyone.
We've got
about 8 minutes left here, Carly, 10 minutes.
Sure.
In closing on this, what would you advise people, and you need to tell them how they can get a hold of you if they want to be a guest on your show, how they can get a hold of you, and what what services you provide there at Hospice Patients Alliance, what they can do for you, if, you know,
now,
that
see,
kind
I'm
of thing.
I'm a board
give
member
that kind
for Hospice Patients Alliance, but I'm, you know, this is, I'm doing, this will be my, you know, I'm kind of doing this on my own, but I am definitely, I'm always working with them as well. But I will definitely give the information. And one thing, if you don't mind, that I add while we're in closing,
okay.
Marty, is if your loved one has been medically killed, okay, by a medical predator, and you have any suspicion, please get an autopsy. Please get an
yes.
autopsy done if you
yes.
can. And if you can, if the coroner, you know, if you tell the coroner, you know, that there's, you know, foul play here, then get that. The coroners are required to investigate that. And you won't have to pay for that because autopsies can be expensive. So they don't
yes.
charge the family. And so, and while you're having that autopsy done, have a private pathologist at the autopsy if you can. It's not that expensive. And so
right.
I would just, you know, and one more thing, get the medical records, the medical administration records, get your medical records, stay on top of that. You know,
yeah.
the pharmacy records, who they contract with the pharmacy, believe me, there is a treasure trove of evidence in those pharmacy records and take area.
Yes.
And
yes.
you will be surprised what you find. You will literally be surprised what you find in those. You can get a hold of me. I'm going to give you an email address. And that is Carly, C-A-R-L-Y, Walden, W-A-L-D-E-N, 1984@gmail.com. That is going to be the email that I use specifically for to set up interviews for this show.
Okay.
And you okay. can also contact me through, if you are on social media, please contact me through the Hidden Realities of Hospice and our healthcare system. I answer there very quickly. So those are two definite ways that you can get in touch with me pretty quickly. I'm usually quick to answer there.
Okay.
So
excellent.
Excellent.
Yeah, this
yeah.
is we've got a I'm having the show metered, Carly. We've got a huge audience.
Okay.
I told you this show was generating a lot of interest, and it's showing up in the numbers right now. We're running right over 55,000. So
good.
I just got an email from my friend who's watching things. We are doing well here. So this is going to be an important show. And as we move through this, we're going to have people
sure.
on who have documented cases of what has happened
right.
to their family member in hospice and how this
mm-hmm.
was accomplished. Learning that you can reject initially hospice.
Yes.
Many people think you
yes.
can't. And doctors will
well,
tell
no,
you,
you most
oh, you
certainly
have a choice.
Can.
Go ahead.
No, you most certainly can reject hospice. And remember,
yeah.
home health care. Home health care. They offer
yes.
the same
now, if
services
hospice
to hospice.
Into the home, yeah, except
mm-hmm.
they don't carry the kill shot with them and put it in your
correct.
Refrigerator.
They don't. They,
which,
right. They do not carry
will.
The lethal.
And that's right. And the
and
other
listen,
thing is, and when
you know, we're not naive. Look, a person may be within a day or two of their natural dying process. However,
right.
there's medication we can use to ease them through that, but not send them into eternity. Let
yes.
them, you know, let them have a natural death, but don't send them there.
Right.
So that's
well,
the point.
And I don't
yeah,
consider it voluntary. If you force this onto someone, and then you withhold food and hydration,
water,
and you set up the
mm-hmm.
medical conditions, you know,
mm-hmm.
that would call for end of life if this was voluntary. You say you it's a difference coming in with those conditions and coming in and having those conditions created to facilitate this. There's
that's
a
correct.
Whole vast difference in these things. The idea, like say, Carly, I still cannot get past the fact that there are willing participants in this system who really seem to take a great deal of pleasure in what they do. And it frightens me to think that many sick people, they are inhuman, are circulating in the general public, in society. It's terrifying to think there's that many out there. It really is.
Me too.
And they never stop to think, Carly, that could be them in that bed. You know?
That's right.
Just but for the grace of God, that could be them in that bed. And I pray that happens to them so they can enjoy some of the amenities they provided other people. We've got about 4 minutes to go here, Carly. Yes, and it is torture.
And let me tell you something, death by dehydration and starvation, that is a very painful death, Marty.
Yes.
Because that's what they do
and that
as
is
well
why,
in hospitals.
Yes, globally, doing that is considered a form of, it's a human rights violation, a form of torture. And they state it specifically, the withholding of nutrition and hydration to cause physical pain or a decline in health is a form of torture. And yet we do it every day in this country under the banner of hospice. And we do it
in
hospitals too when they can't get them to hospice for one reason or another. Yes, and nursing home, please, those places. But we're down to the end here. This has gone so fast, and I'm really pleased with this. Carly, when do you think you'll be able to do a second show?
On Tuesday. Let's do Tuesday.
On
Tuesday's going to be my regular. Tuesdays are going to be good for me.
Okay, excellent. Excellent.
I'll be looking forward
to
the regular.
So I'll have the show promo up. Yeah, and whenever she gets her guests scheduled, and I'll have the show promo up so everybody knows when this is coming, and watch Facebook for it. It'll be posted on there. It'll be posted on the PPJ. And I know right now we have topped just over 50,000 subscribers to the PPJ, so that should help out a lot, getting the show promoted. And
I hope so many get involved,
Yes, because people need to hear this, and they need to know what this outfit has morphed into, because they ain't your friends. And
and this is life.
And they could care
death.
Less about your mom or dad. Yeah.
Exactly.
So listen, everybody, we will be back Tuesday evening. We'll be back Monday night with another episode of Abolishing Probate. And then we'll be back Tuesday night with Carly, Thursday night with Whistleblowers. And we'll be resuming those shows. And then I believe I'm going to have Tanya Hathaway out of Oklahoma doing shows on Fridays for a little bit and dealing with the people out in Oklahoma who have been caught up in this guardianship scam. These are homicidal guardianship scams, and people are dying under these things, hospice being a big part of that in many cases. But anyway, we will be back. And Carly, thank you so much. This is I think you're going to help a lot of people here, and maybe we can get people up on their feet for a change and demanding a change.
Absolutely.
And, so, everybody, thank you for tuning in.
On that note,
we will be back.
Thank you.
Carly will be back Tuesday.
Yes, we will.
Carly,
all right.
Thank you.
I hope everybody has a wonderful evening.
And good night, everyone.
All right. Good night. All right. Bye-bye.